You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Hello, this is Faye speaking, and today is Saturday, the 17th of February 2018, and I'm going to continue with what I had started in the previous audio about the technologies and their progress in the last 500 years. I had stopped in the first half of the 20th century. We saw there the progress. I don't say evolution because evolution has always somehow a positive meaning. To be honest, I'm absolutely not sure that this all is a positive change or progress or whatever. Progress has also a positive meaning, so just, you know it. I use these words, but I don't mean it is necessarily positive. So we stopped after the invention of the first technological material devices to produce mass communications, namely the radio and the television apparatuses, and we saw that they had a big impact as they opened the possibility to influence a bigger radius of territory and populations. In that period, we had the so-called World War I and II, which in fact are actually one long period of massive military operations, including combatant actions and occupations, etc. And we saw that from that period of transition, maybe we could say, because as I mentioned in my last talk, parallel to that was going on the obvious political level, there was a secretive level where the technology of digital devices were progressing very fast in that 30 years from 1910 to 1940. And I had expressed the hypothesis that maybe the events on that pseudo-sphere of the political could be also interpreted as a destruction, decision of the Anglo-American Empire to conceal the knowledge about these technologies. And so they were acting on the political level, but actually they were distracting also from the fact that they had actually produced the first completely capable of doing symbolical operations computers in 1944. So they were not able to be serially produced. They were too big, they were too expensive, there were some steps all needed to go there. But we actually don't know if it was at that time a plan that everyone has an iPhone. I mean, there are such strict relations that I do not share them, to be honest. They belong into the conspiratorial sphere. So the first period of the big or long war or bad war ends with the big psyops of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which, by the way, open up a new paradigm of influencing the public opinion, aka propaganda, aka psychological operation. And that is the nuclear paradigm, the paradigm which has to do with nuclear energy plants and nuclear energy, nuclear bombs, etc. I have not much knowledge about this topic, and someone else could elaborate on that. But for me, it is important to mention that the widening of the sphere of influence was not only that now it was able to mass communicate, let's say, with television, radio, etc., but we have the new sphere of influence, which is the so-called space. As I tried to explain, and I'm sure I was not really good in that, because it's really difficult to explain these things in a foreign language. I tried to associate this new idea or this new paradigm of space with the first use of large-scale chemical weapons in the First World War. This is important because the inventions of technological devices have actually, in all historical periods, have to do with the progress of the military inventions. There has been no invention of any kind of technology without involvement of the military. And the military is the institution that realizes the possibility to act upon the human environment, and not only the human beings, aka the enemies, or the public, which is not directly an enemy, but is an intern enemy, which has to be propagated upon and psyoped upon, so that he becomes conformed to the wishes of the powers or whatever. And the idea of nuclear bombs does not seem directly associated with environment and space. I'm not sure if I'm right with that. It is somehow also an isolated topic in the whole history of these 50 years. There are no other examples of that kind of psyop as Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I think it would be worth a closer, which I think I have to do another time. Okay, so now I continue with the idea of space, and what does it have to do with the military institution or the military apparatus. Space is just a word. I don't know the etymology in English, but I know the etymology in Greek, and it is German. And space is in very simple terms now, I don't want to make a linguistic analysis, it is the place which is inhabited by life. That means it is the interpersonal social room between two persons or more. Between, in a family there is space. In a family is actually was the biggest space in in history, and older in, it was in the communities, in the tribes, or other forms of coexistence. So this paradigm of space, which is targeted from the military institutions or the military apparatus or the military kind of understanding, interpreting and acting upon the world, is completely different to all that was known, because it is the acting upon a space that is thought to be completely empty. There is nothing of the category of life, of human beings or their animal friends. So this is an expansion. This is an expansion of the philosophy of that century, of that decades. It's an expansion that is driven by the mobilization of all institutions in the society, and, especially in the militarized branches of the society. Of course, science is directly involved in this, because otherwise it would not be possible to create, produce, or simulate to have produced the theories that are necessary to explore, as it was called in the beginning, to explore and to create knowledge about what surrounds our world, our earth. That what we call today space is no more the same space that was before the military language occupied the space with space science, space theory, space travel, etc. There were some early tests already in the end of the 40s, beginning of the 50s of the last century. But the one of the well-known events of this series of deceptive events was 1957, the USSR Sputnik 2, with the dog Laika, which was the first which is said that it was the first living being that went into the orbit and surrounded the planet. There is a whole series of these, let's say, space paradigm psyops. They have not stopped until today. I think it is not wrong if we call them discourse psyops. I have proposed this in the Wikipedia, on that page where I am writing upon the logic of psyops and the conspiracy narrative as a concept. It is not a psyop that is in a frame of ambitions, objectives, political strategies, etc., but it is a sphere of knowledge which these events occupy, and they constitute their own discourse, a discourse in the meaning of a whole field of multiple institutions and productive powers in society that are related to this and that follow the rules of that philosophy, that space is, let's say, a term which describes a category of rule of space which is possible to be militarized. That is the main meaning of this space discourse psyop, that space is not living space among human beings, among groups, among tribes, or their techniques, their survival techniques, but it is a category of thinking that is targeted and it is able to be targeted by the military apparatus. In fact, it is, of course, a creation. The military apparatus creates that paradigm. We have no evidence, neither that any of these events have really taken place, nor that this understanding, and I absolutely deny this understanding of space. That's also a reason why I cannot be somehow involved in this discussion about Earth and planets and moons and shapes, because that's not my understanding of space. I need a completely different approach, and I will never talk in the paradigm of the military about the moon. I need another approach, but we do not have it now. Why does this have to do with psyops and with logic of psyops and with what we are doing here on Freakology, the Freakology surrounding? It constitutes a whole new sector of productions, that's one reason. And it is a sector in which only two of the main contrahents of the last century, in puncto influence on the populations, namely the Free West and the Unfree East, Communist SSR and Free USNA of North America. And there in the midst of the first decade of after the big war, we see that already 1960, the Olympic Games that took place in 1960, were televised. They were put into the living rooms of the populace. And I can only view it as my somehow own private history and private remembrance that I have, but what I knew about the JFK assassination when I was 12 or 15, when I started reading papers or talking about the world or such stuff, I just knew some guy was killed and he was very important, let's say, and he was the president of America, as it was called, but I didn't know, for example, that television was able to produce live products at that time. The first live product was, I think, actually the 1961 JFK press conference. After he was elected, it was live. So, I mean, that is something very important, because from this moment, the possibilities for this technology to produce deceptions becomes extrapolated, I think. I'm not sure if that word is the right I was searching. It becomes a million times more intense than previously, because what is life is indisputable. It is life. You cannot intervene in a life event. We know that because we were fooled on 9/11. If it was not life, maybe someone would have, or maybe more people would have thought about that element. But life is also a guarantee of adequacy or of precision. Of you cannot alter something that is live. You can take the camera away, but you cannot make the hair of one who's red black. That's, you cannot alter the content. That's the myth, of course. The myth of the life is that, because we know, for example, that also in in sport events, when they are transmitted live, there is always a difference in the real event and in the transmitted event, because it is always edited. There is no direct 100% live transmission. Maybe it is the case now with the internet technology. I'm not sure about that, but these live stream platforms that exist, I think that's not, it's more close to being absolutely inactive, because also there is time. The transmission takes some milliseconds, even if you are very close. So, yeah, the live press conference of JFK was in 1961. In 1961 was the Bay of Pigs invasion. That was yesterday was the birthday of that, and Gaia made a very nice presentation on the Fecopedia. 1961 is also the Berlin Walls. The Berlin Wall was started to being built. It was not really closed to. It was not forbidden to go from the east to the west. And vice versa. 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Napoleon Wilson has promised that he is going to do a live show about this event. That is very important, because it has to do also with the nuclear threat of that period, which is in that big narrative of these 50 years, which is the dialectic of warfare, as I call it, between freedom and communism. It is completely an absurd idea, because we know that communism is not free, and the West is also not free, and the idea of freedom in itself is very, is a big discussion. The JFK assassination was obviously such a successful PSYOP. I actually tend to think, and I do not have to prove it really, I just take the freedom now to say my thoughts, and also to believe in something or not to believe in something, out of probability or whatever mechanisms I have. I do not believe that it was an assassination. I believe it was something staged with. Maybe it was not even, I say it like that, maybe it was not even Dallas. Maybe it was really a film. We know that Hollywood was very evolved at the time. They were no more just in the studios. They had invented all these trails with which they could go outside, and where all these technological inventions were completed. So the success of that JFK assassination was obviously because of the television reporting that was being done. In Europe, and also I was 1 year old that happened, but later when I learned about it, there was one picture, this picture where he's laying in this on this table with trauma on his head. That is all. It just, if now looking back and thinking about it, it just makes this thought very strong, that power is always based on something absurd, on something that has no real power. It is somehow, it is mythical also. I would like to tell another example of that, which I had read in some analysis of South American, the South American history in the last century, where this author, I don't remember, it's very vague in my mind, but he said, you know, it was enough to go with a tank and occupy the television and the radio, and then you had the power, because nothing else was needed. You don't need the parliament, you don't need to bring all the guys of the government in the prison. Nothing. You needed also to occupy radio and television, and then you were a dictator. And that's how it worked. But
if you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription.
That's not enough.
One-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Yes, why is this now important? I'm saying things, for me they are important, and I hope really that others find it interesting, and if not, you can feedback me and say what you think about this stuff, and I'm also willing to stop doing such a live commentary talks if it's not of interest for the others. But why I think now it is very important, the JFK story, because in this story I see a very clear ambition of the free West to keep the face of a free and democratic, good working society, in comparison to that they blamed on the communist countries, which was that they are unfree, they have controlled media, they have the power of the Central Committee, and they incarcerate, put people in prisons, etc. And I think in this JFK moment, let's say, in this JFK historical moment, where till then the Free West had integrated its propaganda and influence mechanisms in the market. We saw that they were the pioneers of the market integration of all these technologies. They tried to put the computers in the markets and the radio, and all this stuff was integrated in the markets. It was not controlled by a central committee. That's really like that, and that was good, I think. And it would be good if it would continue. But in this historical moment, Kennedy fulfills also a function in this change that is happening. He is presenting himself as a good guy, as a democrat, as one who believes in freedom and democracy, and who wants to let's say destroy the secret societies. There is all this stuff wandering around in the internet about his last speech and his previous speech, where he's referring to the dangers of that historical period, because of course also of the media and the influence that they can have. But he was quite good, and in that moment when he is assassinated, doesn't matter by whom, doesn't matter if at all, and the Free West continues. It has convinced the world that the Free West continues to be free, continues to have his propaganda and military apparatus under control, under democratic control. But the opposite is the case. The JFK assassination is the moment of the first takeover of the military intelligence apparatus. This becomes clear also if one looks closer to what would be needed to produce this event and to sell it through the media. It was not that much an impact as was 9/11, but it is the same liga. It is the same liga of reason or ground and following of. It has the same. Oh my God, my English is not really enough. What I wanted to say with that is, after the John F. Kennedy event, the Free West starts a big, massive grand narrative, we must say, or master narrative, or strategic narrative of the Cold War. And this could not be possible if everyone had the thought that the Americans, they do the same things as the Russians do. They had to differentiate themselves, of course. They had to prove that they are the free West, the democratic West, and everything they do in the name of freedom. It's the first and the last word in every PSYOP. And on every anniversary, New Year, when the kings of Britain come to the mass media. And that was, I think, the real function of JFK, of the JFK event, to convince the world that the West is free. JFK was assassinated, but just by, but just maybe not alone, not maybe some 40 guys from some CIA dark corner, but it is a minority. It is an exceptional phenomenon, those, or maybe it's the mob, or maybe it's the alcohol clique, or whatever, gang, or whatever. But it's a minority. It's not that what the United States and its social structure represent in the world. No, they are the free world, and the others are the Politburo world with centralized cinema, centralized newspapers, centralized television, and every word you say you have to control. In the West, it's not like that on the surface, but in fact it is. In fact, I think that the expansion of the military apparatus into the space and the expansion of the military apparatus in the real territory ran parallel in these 50 years, and with different, of course, events and all this. I'm not sure. Maybe in the beginning, maybe they thought they could really rockets to go to the moon. I remember when I was reading the first books, and I said once in a discussion with John also, there was many literature of the East, because Greece had a strong contradiction in itself. It was influenced by the East and influenced by the West always. That's why they are also there very confrontational in their thought. And I was reading many such books, I don't know the names, but I could find them if someone is interested, about man, the biggest of the creations, who is going to, in 1980, it was said in that book that I was reading, maybe 75, in 10 years about, we are going to have space travel, where the people are going to go, and when they come back, they are even younger than when they left, because time works like that in the universe, and it is blah blah blah, and if the light is 300,000, I don't know. I never liked this very analytical, mathematical stuff, because I always had the suspicion something is fishy if someone has to do such differentiations. It's not plausible, because real knowledge always needed many, many generations of transmissions of that knowledge to the next ones, and societies had always invented such transgenerational techniques to keep the knowledge, and mathematics or algebra, let's say, and was actually always a part of the market paradigm. It was invented as part of the market techniques to sell, to count the cows in the market, in the harbors of Egypt, or I don't know. Okay, I lost my line of thought. I have to go back now, and yes, I was saying that is, from my point of view, that is the importance of the JFK assassination. Besides that it is a PSYOP, Actually, I had never seen somewhere an interpretation why was it necessary. And I think it was necessary because of that Eric played previously, maybe not very good. I will try to repeat it for myself and maybe write it down another time. So the kickoff afterwards for the Cold War had no hindering factors. There was nobody who could object the aim of the Free West to, to avoid to be occupied from the unfree communist East, and therefore there was no power to control the military apparatus of the West. It had free hand. It had free hand maybe not so much in Europe, because Europe was also in the middle of this confrontation, and especially Germany, and that's maybe also why in Germany big parts of this Cold War narrative, which never has been analyzed from a psychological point of view, but I think it has to be, because it is absolutely not sure that Aldo Moro was killed, or that Schleyer was really killed, or that even in Greece, where the 17th of November, one of these big terror organizations which were walking over 30 years from 73 to 90 to 2001, I think, they were active, and one of the first of their attacks was the assassination of the CIA station commander in Athens. So I take my freedom now to articulate that I'm not sure anymore that this guy was killed. Maybe he was not killed, and this 17th of November was partially infiltrated, or maybe from the get-go, the creation of the Western military intelligence apparatus. I think that's enough for today. On the one side, I've lost my line of thought, and on the other side, I'm dizzy from talking. And please give me any kind of feedback you want. It doesn't have to be positive. You can just say, I would like this not to be, or stop doing that, or maybe I would like to join you. That would be great if someone would like to join on another point, because I'm going to continue with these presentations. And for now, see you later. Bye-bye.
This is Just Saying Dude, and I am speaking to you from New Zealand, and I'm telling you that if you want to get the real oil, you need to listen to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.